Hello and welcome back to the Windows 8 UX Design Jumpstart. We're heading into our final stretch and we're covering some really important topics in this final countdown so we can cover as much audience as possible across the globe. And that includes considering accessibility, how accessible your app is to folks with disabilities, to users that don't necessarily use traditional methods to navigate through an app like touch and mouse and things like that. And so what we're going to talk about with accessibility is what exactly it is and how you can prepare your app to declare your app in the Windows Store as accessible. There are people that filter out every app that is not accessible, and so you want to be included in the largest audience possible. And so we'll go over some simple tools and tricks that Windows 8 has included to make your making your app as accessible as possible and as easy as possible. And so let's just go over some of those key points. We'll start by defining accessibility, and that is the degree a product, device, or service or an environment is available to as many people as possible. So it can be viewed as the ability or the ease of access for your system. And this, in this particular instance, we're talking about interfaces. Yeah. We're talking about an app and making it as navigable and as consumable as possible, despite any disabilities that may exist. Why is accessibility important? Why would you go through this extra effort to make your app accessible? Especially, there's a broad audience that really isn't going to use these features, but there is a pretty broad audience that will use these features, and it seems like a shame to disallow some users to use your app when Windows 8 has made it so easy to declare your app as accessible and open it up to so many more people across the globe. 15% of the world's population has a disability, so 15% are going to be using ease of access tools right there in their Windows 8 environment. And so you want to hit that market. That includes 49.6 million users in the United States alone. That's 45 million in Europe. And it's also actually required by a lot of corporate companies, educational and governmental facilities as well. I, for one, used to work on a healthcare website, and accessibility was really, really important to our audience because a higher percentage of them actually did come to the site with a disability looking for help. Yeah. There are different types of impairments that you need to work around in your app and that you need to find solutions for within the Windows 8 ease of access system. There's visual, so folks that might be colorblind, they have a visual impairment towards color, or even low vision and blindness. Mobility problems with arthritis, Parkinson's disease, so muscular accuracy problems that maybe they can't have the precision of a mouse or touch at their fingertips. Hearing problems like mild hearing loss, total deafness. You want to make sure that sounds are not necessarily the only way to navigate and know that you're doing the right thing in your app. And then cognitive disabilities. That's the ability to comprehend words, difficulty remembering things and solving problems. An accessible app is enabled through great design and useful tools. Again, this kind of all ties back into design considerations for your app. There are things that designers are required to do to contribute to making an app successful. There are things that a developer is required to do to contribute to making it accessible. But they also, it's another great opportunity for designers and developers to work together to learn what Windows 8 offers, what Windows 8 provides out of the box, and then what pieces and parts that you as a designer or you as a developer need to build in to match the rest of your app experience. An accessible app is an app that exposes basic information about UI elements. It follows the patterns of the rest of the Windows 8 ecosystem. There's nothing hidden. All of the controls and actions within the app are very apparent, and that goes along with keyboard accessibility. When you're navigating via keyboard, you want to make sure that the actions that you're following through with are tying right back to actions that people that are using touch and people that are using mouse can achieve. And then you want to support high contrast themes, and that includes providing graphics that fall into place when a user has turned on high contrast mode within the Windows 8 environment. And I'll show you where users access a lot of the tools to change their experience in Windows 8 and make it a more accessible experience. And then, of course, in order to declare your app accessible, you want to meet the requirements for having accessible text. And there are a lot of really great rules and regulations about that line of what allows you to declare your app as accessible. And Windows 8, again, provides a lot of information for that. We're only going to be able to touch a few of those tools in this session, but I encourage you to go online and really learn exactly what Windows 8 takes care of for you and how those things function and how your audience with disabilities or even, again, power users that really only want to use the keyboard or the mouse can navigate within your app with ease. So tying back again to that design message, this is about UX design, and this is usability at its finest, making an app really easy to use by folks with disabilities. It's one of those really rewarding parts of being a designer. It's a challenge, and you can see real results when you design a really accessible app. So like everything, you want to start early and you want to start planning how to work in the features to your app that Windows 8 supports. In order to do that, you need to know the Windows 8 assistive features. So you want to familiarize yourself with the tools that users with disabilities have already familiarized themselves with. You want to anticipate any sort of state of Windows 8 that they've turned on so that your app looks beautiful in that state as well. You want to get familiar with industry standards, so compliance standards from the government or from your company. You want to make sure that you're meeting those standards and that users with disabilities won't have a disappointing or a frustrating experience with your app. And then also familiarize yourself with the developer resources. Again, this is a great opportunity to work with your developer and to combine forces and make it a really easy execution. It doesn't take much time at all to provide a few extra graphics or a little bit of art direction to get your app into a really pleasing, accessible state. Let's talk about the assistive features that are included in Windows 8. And I can show you quickly how users are going to access the panel to turn on ease of access tools. And so if I go to my start screen, they're simply going to go into their charms bar, tap settings, and then move down to at the very bottom, change PC settings. That's going to launch all of their personalization, their language preferences, all of that good stuff. Down here at the bottom, there's a section called Ease of Access. And this includes the tools that users can quickly turn on in order to create a really accessible experience in Windows 8. So that includes the high contrast view, the narrator, speech recognition, so folks can talk into a microphone and navigate through Windows 8. Any kind of time delays in order for, again, if they're using speech recognition, there might be a little bit longer delay in that response. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, on-screen keyboard and magnifier. And we'll go over in detail what each of these does and how to implement them. High contrast view makes the screen easier to view by increasing screen contrast. And there's the dark version and then there's the light version. And the dark version is the default. That's what you'll find quickest in the ease of access panel. And essentially it reverses out a lot of the colors and it simplifies them down to black and white, the highest contrast that you can get. And paying attention to how your app responds in high contrast mode is going to create a really frustration-free experience for folks with disabilities. When you design for high contrast mode, first of all, tying back to designing non-destructively, the more that you can do in code, the easier it is going to be for your app to convert to a high contrast mode the quickest. Windows 8 already takes care of a lot of it for you, but the next step is, of course, deciding what elements of your app need to be high contrast, what elements maybe need to lose their color and be converted to black and white and that sort of thing. You want to avoid, see, there's a toast notification. you want to avoid building text onto graphics because, again, you're going to need to recreate those graphics in high contrast mode. And so that's one more asset that you need to provide at the 100, 140, and then 180% sizes. So you want to make as little work for yourself as possible and exclude text that is decorative. The high contrast mode doesn't necessarily switch logos into a high contrast version. Those are usually not interactive elements. And so that's something that would be considered decorative and non-essential to navigation. All of the ease of access tools are really geared towards navigation. And then, of course, you want to consider your tiles and notifications. You want to make sure that the tile on the desktop is a really easy-to-use experience. You want to make sure that any notifications that come up, any toast notifications, again, those are considered and thought through, and that your app is high contrast capable through all of its elements. So let's look at Contoso Cookbook. First, I can go to the start screen and again switch to that high contrast setting panel, and I can turn on high contrast mode. Takes just a second, and you can see that everything reversed. I'm now looking at a black screen with white type on it. Everything is really easy to read. It stands out quite a bit from the background. And when I go to my start screen, you can see that all of my tiles have responded likewise. The logos are white and all of the tiles are black. If for some reason a photo is an important component of a tile, then the text is still on black. And even over here where we have tiles that include the color from the logo, you can still read very clearly what that tile is because of that black bar and that white text. For Contoso Cookbook, we decided to make this as accessible as possible, and so we provided a version of the tile that is in high contrast. And so that's that white whisk on black, and you can see that Contoso Cookbook verbiage there in the lower left. So if we launch Contoso Cookbook, you can see our splash screen is also white on black. We've carried this theme through the entire app. There's nothing surprising and nothing inaccessible when you're opening Contoso Cookbook. You can notice that that logo is still orange. Again, that was a component that it's decorative, it's not related to navigation, and so we decided to leave it the orange color. Throughout the rest of the app, you can see that all of our tabs have been turned into white, and all of the backgrounds have been turned to black. You can see that our recipe tiles are all black, and you can see that the text on top of the recipe tiles has turned white. Our ratings and our timer, those are bright enough. Those are actually standing out very well across that black, and you can test for the level of contrast within your app using several different tools. So now let's get out of high contrast mode and go back into our presentation. Next, let's talk about narrator mode. And this includes its own set of touch gestures. And guys, I forgot to mention, I'm gonna need audio for this demo, if that's okay. But narrator mode is, and if I can't get audio, then that's fine, we'll just talk through it. But it's essentially your computer reading to you. It is navigating without visual requirements, essentially. You can actually test that if your narrator mode is working by trying to navigate without your monitor. Yep. Trying to navigate through with your keyboard or something like that. You can use it to test your screen reading experience, and what it really reveals often is that you maybe don't have your titles, your section titles in the right order, that you maybe don't have your content flowing in a proper order, or that you don't have certain pieces of content that are pertinent to navigation highlighted as readable. And so going through and testing all of the page types of your app, all of that makes a lot of sense. You want to activate the narrator tool using Windows key plus enter. Within narrator tool, because that experience is more complex and you want users to be able to focus on different parts of the screen to allow narrator to participate in reading to them, there's a new set of touch gestures that go along with that. And that can seem intimidating. However, there's also an easy keystroke to get to those touch gestures. And so that is caps lock plus F1. So while you're in narrator mode, if you hold down caps lock and press F1, a menu of all of those options will come up to you. And again, this is just, this slide is explaining to you why the order of your content is important. If the narrator were to simply start reading this bit of weather content, it might go down the first column and say, time, 1 o'clock p.m., 2 o'clock p.m., 3 o'clock p.m. Those are not related to each other. And so when we when the order goes in the proper way, you can see from it will call out 1 o'clock, 74 degrees, partly cloudy, 74 degrees and 0% precipitation. And so it's going to relay related information in the proper order. So now let's try in this demo with narrator mode. And I think that my microphone might go away for just a little bit. And Chris, if you can talk us through what we're seeing here. But what I'm going to do essentially is turn on narrator mode. And it's, I'm sorry, oh, okay, my microphone, I can totally keep gabbing to you. So what we're going to do in narrator mode is essentially navigate through our PC and through our user flows using only the keyboard or touch gestures that are associated with the narrator mode. And so I'm going to hit Windows, Enter.
Start menu, main, focus on mail. Launch mail.
And hopefully our little guy will turn on in a second.
Volume up. Tooltip, volume level 70. Inter- mail.
Anything, guys? Are you hearing it? Okay, launch folks mail. At home are hearing it. I am not hearing it.
Expanded.
What I'm going to do is tap around. You can see that I'm using the arrow key on the keyboard, and as I move from tile to tile, it's letting me know what I'm looking at. And when I get to Contoso Cookbook, I can tap once and focus on that tile, and it tells me, it gives me a little bit of hint, double tap to activate. And so I can just tap twice and open Contoso Cookbook. And so narrator is not only guiding me through all of these gestures, but it's also highlighting on the screen where I am as well. And so if I hit tab, that puts me into the first featured group. Notice that it skipped featured. That is not a navigational element. That is a label. Because you can't tap featured and get more featured recipes, it skipped right over that. And I can use my arrow key to just move right over to the invite for carry first. If I tab again, that gets right into carry first tab, and you can see that check mark, and I can just double tap to accept carry first invite.
Carry first.
Well,
back button.
There you go. I actually tapped into carry first personality or profile. If I want the screen to read something to me, I simply focus over it. I touch it with my finger and it reads what I've focused on. That really highlights why there's a new set of touch gestures within the narrator. If I hold down caps lock F1,
search basic,
you can see a long
window.
List of
focus
gestures that are available
box,
to me.
Editing explorable
and this is a
text.
Really great reference
stop
for
reading,
someone that might
control,
be new to narrator that haven't really gotten the strokes down as memorized as someone that has been using it for a while. And so you can see that Windows 8 makes it really easy to navigate through your app. I hope you guys at home could see that narrator in progress. I wasn't quite sure what you were hearing, but hopefully it worked pretty well. And if not, please go into your own Windows 8 experience, hit the Windows Enter key, and you can enjoy that narrator experience as well. Now I'm going to go back to my desktop, not mail, and I'm going to exit narrator. There's my overlay right there. So double tap to activate. And then once that goes away, I can see that I've exited narrator. Now, back to our presentation. Speech recognition. I can go through the next few tools pretty quickly. They're pretty straightforward. Speech recognition is speaking into a microphone to control the computer, open programs, and even dictation. You can write an email using speech recognition. There's a time delay for speech recognition because the computer understands that there may be a slower reaction time with speech recognition than there would be with using direct input from a device. The magnifier tool temporarily makes everything bigger. Again, this is available in that ease of access panel. People can just turn on the magnifier tool, and then it creates an environment that you can move through in a very large percentage. You can see here, this view on this slide is 400% the normal size. If you're using a mouse, you'll see scroll bars that you can move about on your screen. And of course, if you're using a touch device, you can simply drag around. The on-screen keyboard is put on the screen for users that don't necessarily, that can't necessarily use a physical keyboard. So they can use the mouse to enter keys, or they can use the touch screen to enter keys here. When you're navigating with keyboard, your users should be able to cycle through core scenarios that are related to those user flows that we've been talking about this whole time. So in Contoso Cookbook, a user should be able to use the keyboard to get to the hub screen, first of all, to open the app from the start screen, get to the hub page, see the recipes, see the what's new items, select one of those what's new items, select a recipe, select a cuisine to get into that group page. They should be able to leave a review, they should be able to accept Carrie's invite straight from the keyboard, and they should be able to navigate right into each of those core scenarios. And you can see a little bit of that when I was walking through with the accessibility, the narrator. You could see that I was navigating with keyboard and with touch, so I had a little bit of a mixture happening there. But again, order is important. Test that out extensively. If you are going through your app and you notice that your keyboard jumps into a group before reading a header, or if you can't tab to a group, you can tab between sections that focus, for instance, on the start screen, you might tab into your profile image and then tab back down to your tiles. Work with your developer to make sure that those arrows and those tabs are going to the places that they need to go. And a lot of this is built in. A lot of this is already built into the system. But for sure, again, it's one of the great opportunities to sit down with a developer and just hammer that out together and make sure that it's a great experience.
And that was one of the first times I had ever worked on an assistive app for Windows 8, one of the first ones. That's exactly what me and my team did, is we went through and first learned all the tools, yep. Right? Learned how to use Narrator as a user, high contrast mode and so on, and then went through and played with the templates to see how they structure the app so you could navigate from section to section, then into a section, then into content and various different pages. So that was a huge help just to get started.
Yeah, and there are a ton of online guidelines. Again, we're not really doing accessibility justice with this short of a presentation. You could spend a couple of days on it. Yeah. It's a really interesting topic for me, and considering the amount of folks across the world that, again, filter out apps that are not accessible, and Windows 8 makes it so easy to subscribe to the accessibility tools, that it's low-hanging fruit. You want to pick that and make sure that your app is accessible to as many people as possible. You want to make sure that, again, you create captions, tooltips as you're navigating through your app. With the keyboard, you want to leave out elements that are not interactive. There's no reason to sort of rest over an item on the page that you can't click on.
Yeah, right.
And so keep in mind those considerations as you're moving through. So design for visual feedback. There are a few guidelines to kind of assist in other ways to design your content specifically for accessibility that don't necessarily include those ease of access tools. Flash your screen for the hearing impaired. Let them know that something is changing. Again, this ties back to some of the importance of animation. If you have animating content that's changing, then people that aren't necessarily hearing any changes or that have some visual impairments, they're seeing those changes occur on screen via animation. Build response into touch controls. This goes back to best practices within Windows 8 anyways. You can see that if I'm in narrator mode and I tap once on a tile, I get a visual cue that I'm focused on that tile. Or even you saw when I touched the Carrie First's name, I was focused on that. And so I got a highlight around what it was reading. And then if I wanted to select that, or even when you touch and drag a tile, you get some visual feedback that you are successful in your actions. Again, these all tie back to a lot of what you're already doing for your app in Windows 8. And then you want to deliver confirmation of an action and functionality. So again, tying back to a progress bar or tiles animating in the card for an app opening, these are all visual cues that the user was successful. And honestly, we've been saying these throughout the couple of days, and so it's really great how Windows 8 is already halfway there. It's already a really usable, intuitive environment. some additional guidelines. If your context changes, you want to make sure that that was caused by a direct action. You don't want to necessarily change your context without a user intentionally double tapping a tile. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that everything, if they're navigating through keyboard, that hitting enter is an activation, whereas hitting spacebar is a selection. So you want to comply with those. Right. You want to use graphics that are not animated. Anything that requires animation might be turned off. Mm. And so you want to be able to you want users to use animation both to get around, but then also to not rely on animation. You want to make many ways for them to get to that information. And then avoid flashing controls that might cause seizures. We've all seen some banner ads that are quite frankly rather dangerous out there that maybe flash colors very quickly. You want to avoid that. You want to be considerate of your audience there. And then, of course, all text should be readable. And that ties back to making all of your text as much as possible code. Yeah. You want to try and make everything really legible from your system, and your system's going to pick that stuff up and reverse it automatically if you don't do anything for contrast mode, or it's going to pick it up and be able to scale and be able to do many, many different things if you can get all that stuff as much as possible made in code. So testing your app for accessibility is the way to ensure that your app is going to succeed when you submit into the app, the Windows Store. You want to make sure that you are compliant with the contrast mode. You want to make sure that your colors that you've chosen for your app are very legible for the colorblind. You want to make sure that, again, your app is navigable via keyboard, via narrator. You want to test all of these to make sure that you're doing that properly. And like everything else, Windows 8 has provided tools for you to do this. They've made it easy for you to tell if you're doing it properly. Use the UI Accessibility Checker. That's a tool that comes with Visual Studio. Your developer will have access to it. You can use that tool to ensure that you're meeting a lot of these accessibility compliance rules. So again, test your keyboard. Go through your entire app using only your keyboard. Unplug your mouse. Don't use your touchscreen. Verify in high contrast mode that all of your graphics are switching over. When we were building Contoso Cookbook, we realized that there were a couple of controls, like those on-screen controls, like for Carry First. We ended up making those a graphic for a specific reason, and so we needed to provide assets for those in the reverse order. And so even that tile, we needed to provide a new tile for the high contrast mode. And you want to verify that your app is making everything bigger, so make sure that that magnifier tool works, and then turn on narrator and have a go at it. It's really quite fun. I told Chris earlier today that the narrator and I are becoming BFFs. Right. So turn that on and make sure that as you navigate through your app, whether it's touch, mouse, or keyboard with the narrator, that it's going in the proper order, that things are logically reading. Mm-hmm. That you're seeing headers first, that you're seeing content within those headers second, that you're able to navigate from section to section, and again, that your text is legible and readable by the narrator. Yeah. You can use this program called a Contrast Analyzer app, and it's called, here it's called Color Contrast Analyzer. You can actually select your text color, and then you can select your background color. And this will tell you whether it passes as an accessible color combination. A lot of times, if you choose a couple of colors that you wouldn't, like if you choose red on green, that might not look bad to a person that, well, it might look like a certain holiday, but right. It might not look bad to a person that doesn't necessarily have a colorblind disability. Right. However, someone with colorblind would not be able to tell, right. Someone that was colorblind would not be able to tell the difference between the letters and the background. Also, high contrast is very important to a lot of users, and so this tool allows you to select the foreground and the background and see if that relationship is going to pass. So when you declare your app accessible in the App Store, again, to repeat, you want to expose basic information about your UI elements. You want to make sure that all of your navigable elements are being highlighted and are super accessible. Implement that keyboard accessibility support high contrast themes, whether that means providing a couple of new graphics, whether that means sitting down with your developer and making sure that everything is reversing out properly. And then you want to meet requirements for accessible text. So you want to make sure that your text is readable, that it is in the proper order, that it's being read in the proper order, and again, that anything that was graphic that you've swapped out. And that was pretty much a recap right there, but it all boils back down to designing a great accessible experience. Not only is accessibility an extension of your brand, it shows that you've considered that there's a larger audience and that you've considered that there is more than one way to navigate in Windows 8. It's really acknowledging all of the wonderful ways that you can get around in Windows 8 that don't necessarily correlate directly with a traditional experience. Yeah. And again, I encourage you to go online and read more about accessibility. It's something that, like I said, is near and dear to my heart. I know all about it way too much. I could go on and on and on, but I'm already running over. And so I encourage you to go online, find out more about it. And then, as I said, Windows 8 developer tools include a lot of tests that you can run to ensure that your app is accessible and that you're going to pass when you declare your app as an accessible app in the Windows Store.
Awesome.
So after that, we're going to talk about globalization next, but we're going to take a 10-minute break, and we'll see you back here in about 10 minutes, and we'll talk about a couple more things.
Thanks.